Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, the founder of Miles to Memories, joined this week by Mark Osterman, our managing editor, and Bethany Walsh from Bougie Miles. I know... Bethany, you just spent some time up in Michigan, heading back home. How are things going?
Yeah, I just got back. I was visiting Mark this weekend. So it was an interesting weekend, to say the least.
Yeah, every crazy story always starts with, I was visiting Mark this weekend. So, or not everyone, but a lot of them do.
So the fact that I made it is incredible.
Yeah, we survived. It's like the hangover. But did you die? That's all that matters. We didn't die. It was fun. You know, we got to hang out. Got to hang out with Bougie Miles player number two, which is always a good time. And then on Friday or on Sunday, after I dropped him off at the airport, a buddy had a suite access at the Tigers game. So I went to that, hung out with some Miles and Points people in Detroit and got to watch, you know, the Tigers get destroyed. But hey, anything from a suite is fun. So it was kind of crazy because they had Miguel Cabrera is going for his 500th home run. So everybody's there basically just to watch him because our team's not great. So during the game, though, the pitcher for the Indians has a perfect game going into the eighth inning. So you almost start to like, okay, well, Cabrera's not getting it done today. So let's see some history. Like I found myself rooting for the Indians pitcher. Like, come on, you know, they're not even the Indians anymore. So this would have been the first time as the Guardians that they would have had a perfect game. So it would have been a part of like first time history. So I found myself rooting for that, and somebody hit like a really weak bloop single in the eighth. So he had no base on balls and only one hit for the whole game, complete game. So I was like, oh, man, everybody cheered like they just won the World Series when they got the hit. But I was rooting for history, man.
It sucks, man, that to throw almost a perfect game. And so just a one hitter with no other errors or anything else, right?
Wow, yeah, and it wasn't even like a great hit. It was like a bloop single to right field. So it would have been one thing if he like drove it off the wall or like, you're like, okay, that was, you know, he got all of it, but it was just like let me slap my bat out there and loop it into outfield. And that ended it. It was like 11-0 game. So it was like the only thing we were still there rooting for, essentially.
I'm surprised you actually watched the game because we know that you.
Yeah, well, amazing.
I mean, how much of it did I watch? Not a ton, but I was there the whole game in my seat. So
we got to witness that in Colorado, like the phenomenon where Mark doesn't actually watch baseball inside of a stadium. And I really don't think that you even went close to be able to see.
No, I didn't go out towards the field at all. I mean, we watched it because there's sports betting apps in Denver as well. So a couple of us like signed up and did sign up bonus promos to try to make some money while we were there. So there was a couple free bets that you get to do, and a lot of us took the under, and there was what? I don't remember if it was the eighth inning or ninth inning. And the over-under was like 11.5, and the score was at 11 total runs. And there was a play at the plate, and they tagged the guy out, and they originally called him safe, which would have screwed us. But then they reviewed it, and it was an out, and everybody started screaming. So that was like the amount of baseball I watched, that one play on replay.
So only when you have some money on it.
Exactly.
But did you watch it on the screen or did you actually go over?
No, I watched it on the TVs that were behind the bar in our cabana area.
I don't even think that counts. Yeah.
Yeah. The only time I saw the field was when I went and bought a hot dog before the game started. So that was it. But I've seen that park before. So I didn't need to walk around it or anything.
In the last 2 weeks, you've seen baseball games from a cabana and from a suite, but you really didn't actually watch the games happen. So
best thing ever.
Quite the life that you're living.
Huge baseball fan.
Yeah. Well, we hung out in Vegas for Sean Reese's 21st birthday this last weekend, which was fun. And a huge shout out to one of our Diamond Patreon members who he was in Vegas already, and he had a bad stay at Resorts World right around opening, and they had promised him a suite at Crockford's for a night when he came back, but he decided he wanted to do his whole stay at Caesar's Palace. So at the last minute, he decided to just give us the room. I still had my room at Conrad. And it was really, I'm going to tell you, it was very difficult for me to give my son that hotel room and to take the Conrad room. I'm just going to say it was very, very difficult. I think I deserve like Father of the Year award because I wanted that suite all to myself. But yeah, it was good. It was a good time. And I think he had fun. But I finally got to see Crockford's, Mark. So we'll talk on the new MTM Vegas podcast this week all about my final thoughts now having been to all three of the hotels there.
I'm curious because, you know, the September trip, I've like moved the choice of my hotel for one night, like four or five different times. And I had booked back into Crockford's and I was one of the people that was walked the first day. So I should technically get that suite as well if it's available. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And then it has me wondering, like, should I move from the Four Seasons to Crockford's to try to get that? Would I risk it? Or should I stick? I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I have legit booked five different hotels for that one night.
Yeah, you have you've put more thought into that than I think you normally do.
Yeah, normally it's just whoever's giving me comps, that's where I go.
So yeah, it's crazy, but it was a great surprise, and it was good to be able to give him a good time. And like I said, that's more Vegas focused, so we'll talk about that more on the Vegas podcast. So that was a good time, and then he ended up, you know, kind of getting drunk, passing out, and losing his cell phone. So I feel like I did my job in delivering a memorable birthday weekend. Although, admittedly, not a lot of partying because he's not that much of a party animal. But he at least had some fun, got to experience his hometown, I think, in a different way. And it's crazy because growing up here, he hasn't... Like, I grew up, like, on the Strip, basically, but I've never taken him all that much. So he's still not probably as knowledgeable about Vegas as probably a lot of kids who just visit here. So, and I'd like it to stay that way, I think.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was interesting to see it through his eyes, and I had a lot of fun there as well. So we'll talk about it on this week's show. And if you like this show, though, before we get into the main MTM podcast, don't forget you can find links to subscribe at mtmpodcast.com. You can find us in any podcast app, and that goes for this podcast, also the new MTM Vegas podcast. Just search Miles to Memories. You can find us everywhere. Let's get into talking about the age-old question that every travel hacker has to deal with, and that's whether you should redeem points or pay cash. And we've talked about this on the show a little bit more, but Ian weighed in this week with an article on the website where he went point by point into exactly what he does, and we're going to kind of go over the different reasons. But I feel like this is a great episode to have Bethany on. This is a great topic because I think, Bethany, you take a different approach to this than just about every travel hacker. I feel like almost everybody who's in this hobby, their go-to is to be able to just save money, save money, save money. They don't really look at the other side of it, but it's definitely a lot more nuanced. And we know you're the queen of booking crazy tickets to go all the way around the world to get status. You're willing to spend a few bucks, though, right, to get what you want?
Yeah, I think that that's what sets me or my theories apart from everyone else. Like, people usually just want to use points if they have them, and I look at it slightly differently.
Well, how about you, Mark? We're going to talk a little bit later in the show about your trip to Alaska, and I think that's a good point when we're talking about points or cash, because there's times, obviously, where you didn't have a choice, but where you decided to spend a little bit more money. But let's start here. Like, we're planning a trip. We're going to decide points or cash. Is the first thing you're doing looking at your preferred travel providers, your preferred hotel, airline? Are you looking for the cheapest? Like, what's my cheapest option? And then kind of going from there, where are you guys starting when you're planning your trip and kind of just determining how you're going to pay for it?
Yeah, I usually start for hotels. I start with a Ward Mapper and I kind of, you know, look at the hotel scene, what points hotels they have available. Sometimes if the points is a decent, you know, if it's like an 8,000 point Hyatt, 12,000 point Hyatt, I don't even really pay attention to cash that much because, you know, it's always going to be a decent value when you're in the lower tier hotels because they're usually going to be $150 to $200 at least. For flights, I go to Google Flights and always look at the cash prices first and then see what direct flights are offered and then kind of try to find the miles that work best for that and then see if it's a good valuation or not. Like, I'm chasing Delta status, which I know Bethany is as well. So I'll do that. And then you go and, you know, Delta's all over the place. Sometimes they'll have really good mileage prices and other times for a $200 flight, it'll be 25,000 miles. So you don't know what you're going to get. So that one's always kind of a mixed bag. And then I'll even look at partners like Virgin or Flying Blue, stuff like that to try to book Delta if that's the best option. So I kind of work it that way. I don't really have a set, you know, Ian talks about these are the min valuations I go for, kind of the ballpark I'm looking for. And I used to always say, I just use points no matter what. And I guess in a roundabout way, it's still that way, because with the cash out from the membership rewards at 1.25 cents right now and 1.5 cents on Chase, you can kind of still pay cash for things, but use points. You cash in your points and then turn them into cash and use that cash to pay. So I know people say money's fungible, and once it's money, it's money. But I kind of had like a unique theory. I don't know if it's new, unique, but it's new to me, that when you're paying cash, you're basically buying points at the highest rate. You know, maybe that's the way we should look at it. Like if this Hyatt hotel, you're getting 1.4 cents per point or 1.3 cents, maybe that's not what you want. And you set your cutoff at 1.5. But should we turn around and look at it and say, would I buy Hyatt points at 1.3 cents? Because that's essentially what you're doing. I know that doesn't factor into your earn rates from the purchase. But once you calculate all that, maybe we should look at it as, would I buy these points for this price? And if your answer is yes, then you pay cash. If your answer is no, then you book it. Is it that simple? Am I crazy?
It's hard though, because like people sell this hobby, right, as traveling for free. And so it's difficult to for some people to just get over the fact that they're going to use money to pay for things. And whether it's right or wrong, or whether they get the value or not, some people just mentally can't do that. And I don't know that there is a right or wrong answer, but I do know that the longer I've been in the hobby, the longer I've been doing it, the easier it's been for me to start paying cash for stuff and to kind of acknowledge what the true value scenario is. Whereas before, to your point, Mark, I would just say, I'm going to use points for everything, right? I'm trying to travel for free. My goal is to not pay cash. And now I feel like the more mature you get in the hobby, the less simple that calculation is. What do you think, Bethany?
So first of all, I would just like to say that the only arguments Mark and I have ever had historically are about this. And all of a sudden, Mark agrees with me. So I wish that I had premium Slack so that I could go back and take all those times he got like a little fresh with me saying like, but you're going to end up spending X, Y, and Z, and you could just look at it like this. And I was like, yeah, but I'm going to cash in points anyway at the end of the day for cash back. I just want to say this is new. I planted the seed in his head and he waited 2 years until he could no longer attribute it to me to say that it was right.
Exactly.
No, I do think playing a role in it has been better options to cash out. Like before, it was ultimate rewards were cash out at like 1 cent. And now with pay yourself back, if it stays around, 1.5 cents was kind of like a game changer, because that's about what I was getting for stuff anyway. So it kind of opened my eyes up to it. Membership rewards, I've just been earning.
Yes, ding, ding, ding. Opened your eyes. Yep, that was me.
Membership rewards, it's just been so easy to earn these days with all these targeted offers and stuff that I have a surplus. So I'm like, why not? You know, 1.25 isn't great, but if you can earn, replenish them, plus we're not traveling a ton like we normally would, it's like there's no point in stockpiling it for the time being. So that, you know, all of it has kind of changed my theory on it. You know, just the pandemic played a role in it as well.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for sure. Like that's actually influenced me sometimes to go the other way, because I'm like, okay, well now paying cash is just absurd, because usually I factor in how many miles and points am I earning on this stay that I can use in the future. But now I'm like, I just already have too many.
And like hotels are astronomically high right now. So it's like, this is the time to get value from those points. Airlines, you know, that was a different thing where they're cheap for a while. Now that's getting expensive. So it's almost like the as things roll back out, they get, you know, points are more valuable to use. So
yeah, but yeah. You make a good point, is that you should flex based on, you always should be looking at the cash price of what you're doing, because there's times where flights are nothing, and you know, even paying 12,500 miles for a domestic award when you could get a flight for $50, like where the value is so lopsided that you have to be doing that. And then to your point, like now you're maybe seeing better value, where through most of the pandemic, using miles and points was not something you should have been doing on flights or hotels because it was so cheap.
I don't start with like award prices. I go to Google Hotels, and like whatever is the 5-star hotels is where I start. And I see like, okay, where do I have either like a free night cert or miles and points for any of these hotels? And then I work my way down from there. Kind of the opposite. But The cash price is always something on my mind, especially with programs that have like great promos like Hyatt and Marriott.
There's one other thing that I was thinking about this weekend in talking to a friend who is in this hobby and has created a business around the hobby, although not like us. I mean, obviously the three of us all have very direct businesses. We write about this stuff. We have our, you know, businesses. Writing off trips is fairly straightforward because this is our job. But there may be people who don't, you know, they have their own job and they're starting businesses that then allow them to write off a lot of their travel. And if you're traveling and paying cash and you're able to write that off, that's another kind of calculation. I know it's one that I've always been very frustrated with because on one hand, if I'm paying cash for a hotel for work, I can write that off. But then on the other hand, I have the miles and points, and at what point do I use those and which thing? And that adds another level of complication. But I feel like there's probably people should at least be looking at, do they have opportunity to write off cash travel in some circumstances, and then what value that gives to you because you're not paying tax on it.
I think that's what's so amazing about the IRS not taxing cash out of miles and points. Like when you pay yourself back with Ultimate Rewards, that's tax-free earnings because the way that, you know, it's set up, it's a rebate on spend. Same with like the Citi Double Cash, stuff like that. And then you turn around and use that cash to pay for your travel and you get to write that off too. So it's like double dipping it essentially. So that it can really add up when you think about it.
We should do like a special on this because I've been thinking about this for a really long time because at one point I wanted to be a tax attorney and I love looking at taxes. Like I did our taxes for up until like 3 years ago. And something I always thought of was like, okay, well, I'm not getting any taxable benefit out of using my miles and points for myself. So every time P2 or like one of my friends would take a trip, I would just sort of say, okay, well, I'll give you my miles for this trip and then you'll just give me cash next time we travel. Yeah. And, you know,
that's a good idea.
Doing it that way, I've sort of like created value for all sides, but also maximize my rightful deduction.
Yeah. And I should say we're not accountants and this is not
CYA legal, professional, your way right here.
Professional CYA. Advice.
But this is not professional advice.
But it is good and fun to talk about our own personal experiences and like as we are. And a lot of people have similar things. But yeah, as you get more advanced in the hobby, this little simple question about cash or points and whether you should use what, where does kind of get more complicated, but then you can get significantly more value. So that's why we like to talk about it. We do also have our own valuations of points to kind of help people. If they need a guide for what we sort of have found the value of different things to be. You know, for instance, Ian says the value of Hyatt points are 1.5 cents each. That's actually, or that's what he uses. That's actually what I find is my value. Oftentimes I find I'm getting 1.3 or 1.4 cents. And those are the redemptions that just kill me because I don't want to go less than the value. But when I think about it, the average is still pretty good. And like, yeah, it's just so much ridiculousness that we can go through as people going in circles about how
small stuff.
Exactly. And well, that's going to bring us to like the next thing we're going to talk about, which is your Alaska trip, which I know there's a lot of people who read your report on it, Mark, and you basically laid out how much cash, how much points you spent, exactly how you booked it, where you stayed, everything else. So it's a great article for people to read. But I mean, you spent a decent amount of money, right? I mean, this wasn't that quote unquote free trip that everybody dreams about.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple things played into that, but it was the most expensive cash trip I think I've had, you know, maybe ever. Because, you know, if you look at the what it would have cost me type of trips, definitely have had more expensive trips like that. Like, oh, I've had, you know, a $5,000 flight, stuff like that. But that's not real to me. And before we got into miles points, we did all inclusive stuff, but that was usually, you know, $2,500, stuff like that. So this is at least in a long time, you know, since I got into it, miles and points for like the last 10 years, this is probably the most expensive. And, you know, some factors of that was I'm chasing Delta status. So I paid cash for the flight, a first class flight, which was basically $1,200.
I read that and I thought I was reading a Bethany post.
No, and I will say, you know, I had about $600 in Amex airline incidental credits that I used rolled towards it. So It was only really like $600 out of pocket. And I did write earlier this year where I cashed in every single ultimate reward and every single membership reward point I had, which ended up being like a little over $10,000 worth of money. And I did that so I could be flexible in my travel in the future. I kind of put that in a bank off to the side. And that came into play with this. You know, my son's, it was 52,000 Virgin Atlantic miles to get his flight there, which hurt because it would have been 25,000 a year ago. And 45,000 Delta Sky miles back. It wasn't the best option of, you know, both of those were like not the best option. But I wrote an article, if you're interested, which is linked to in this one, explaining it. Transportation, I got a pretty good deal on car rental, which is hard to find these days. So all that transportation, parking, everything was $440. Lodging, this one kind of hurt. I used two free night certificates when we were in Anchorage. But when you get outside of Anchorage, there's not a lot of miles and points option. So one of the nights we were going to drive to Homer and I was going to use Choice Points, which I signed up for that card partially for this trip. And then I decided, you know, I did an audible last minute. Ian Snyder did not know what audible meant because he doesn't watch football.
Thank you. I was just about to say what.
Because he does not live on planet Earth. He does not live on planet Earth, apparently. Come on.
So Ian, an audible is when you change the play. So I changed the play. We were originally, you know, supposed to drive to Homer, but we'd already drove. You know, we were only there for 4 days and that would have been, you know, 5 hours worth of driving there and then like 4 or 5 hours back to Anchorage. And it was just kind of killer. It would have ruined the whole trip. So I made a, you know, our buddy Dave told me about the Girdwood area, the brewery there and the really nice hotel there. So I spent $400 to stay there for one night, which that was $400 I wasn't planning on and did it last minute. And then the hotel I stayed at in Seward was $660. Wasn't great, but everything was expensive there and there was no points options. So, you know, hotels was around $1,100. Entertainment was, you know, $350. The biggest thing was the 6 hour boat trip that we took was $225 in and of itself. We took a tram to the top of the mountain, which cost money, gold panning, stuff like that. Dining, $450. We ate pretty inexpensive because my son does not like seafood. So that's kind of the big cost in Alaska. So I saved there. So overall, it was $3,550. Two free night hotel certificates and 97,000 airline miles. So it was a very big cash centric trip. So I was kind of curious to hear, you know, in the last 10 years, maybe lifetime, what's the most expensive cash layout trip that you've done?
I was thinking about this. I don't have a lot of good ones. I've put cash out there, but I've always been that guy who wanted to maximize his miles and points. I've obviously done, you know, year and a half backpacking trips, stuff like that. So I feel like I erred too much on the side of not the last few years of not doing things I should have been doing, like kind of splurging on enough stuff. So I feel like I'm terrible. I was really thinking all day about like what trip I should have. I've splurged on points and stuff. I've done lots of Hawaiian trips and things like that, but thankfully I've not had
booked a lot of like excursions and stuff and that through the Chase portal. So you even use points like directly for that versus indirectly where I cash them out with pay yourself back and then use the cash to pay for it. So
I can't wait to hear Bethany's
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, she's going to have something. It's probably a cruise, though.
Yeah, screw you. I was just going to say the answer is going to shock you. It was a cruise.
I knew it.
Assuming we're not doing like gambling losses, right?
No.
Okay.
Then Vegas would be number one for me. But yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. So it was definitely 100% our Royal Caribbean cruise that we took maybe like a year before I really got serious. Like I always had like Chase points, you know, but I hadn't really experienced like the true world of miles and points at that point. So yeah, it was definitely a cruise. We spent like $3,500 cash just for the room and the basic food. And then we spent like another probably $2,500 on board in like extra food, drink, all that stuff.
That booze bill, man. That booze bill gets you.
Right? I mean, they really know how to get you. And then like excursions and we just had a good time. However, if I did that now, $6,000, like you better believe I'm getting at least on like one first class flight. I'm staying in one Four Seasons. Like if I'm not using points, it's going to be something way more bougie than a cruise, you know? So that was it. Yeah.
Mine is probably a cruise. I mean, I used to go on cruises before miles and points, and I certainly did a few. And there was one cruise
A Disney. What about like a Disney trip? I mean, those get super expensive if you stay on site.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is good, but then I'm always cheap and I'm staying off site. Like when I stayed on site, it's because I was able to use Delta Miles. Or
you're not Benji, where you roll out all the Disney gift cards and you go balls to the wall.
Well, so I have done some of that. So I did utilize. So now I have a few thousand dollars in Disney gift cards, but now I'm being cheap about it. Like I'm still gonna like dole that out slowly. But again, I don't get the huge personal value out of staying on property like Benji does. So I feel like so much with travel is about knowing which experiences mean something to you and then going out of your way to do them. And like I said, I pursued a lot of cool stuff over the years and tried to find ways where I could make miles and points work with that. But there were times where I should have probably done stuff, or I chose a certain trip where I could use miles and points more than another one. But yeah, I've done group trips though in the past. I did it like coaster trips way back when, where I had to pay a lot of money because people were planning the trip and it would piss me off because here we are staying in this terrible hotel that I paid way too much money for. And, you know, so that's always the worst kind of stuff when you're paying for travel that you know you could do much better. And, you know, it's not very good anyway. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, nothing like this. But when I do go to Alaska, Mark, I mean, I'm going to do this stuff, right? I mean, I feel like I don't want to be the guy who goes to places and doesn't do things. And, you know, I feel like it's okay in our hobby to spend a little bit money. And there wasn't a lot of people saying that years ago, that it was okay. And yeah. I'm glad that we are, you know.
Now. I think it has changed. And I know Bethany was always, you know, this way. But I do think it shifted. Like when Benji first started writing for us and he wrote an article about him, how he cashes out all his ultimate rewards. And that was back when it was 1 cent a piece. And I was like, oh, you better get ready to get murdered in the comments. Like, absolutely murdered. People lose their mind about this in Facebook groups and stuff. So this was like one of his first like four or five articles that he wrote. And, you know, he's not used to getting destroyed in comments. But they were actually really open to it. And a lot of people said they did it. So I think over time, people have realized that, you know, points with devaluations and stuff, points valuations have kind of come down towards the cash level. And it gets to the point like, I'd rather just pay cash and not have to worry about it, book direct flight, instead of having connection to use miles and points. And I can cash out these miles and points. I might not get as much, but, you know, convenience factor. And I think people have accepted that more. And kind of the whole thing has changed. And part of that's because they're not worth what they were. Part of it's because you get better cash out options now than you did before. And part of it's just, I think people have adjusted and grown. So it's been interesting to see for sure.
I like in your article too, you talk about how you could have saved money on the Alaska trip. So not only saying what you spent, but then, yeah, this is how I could have gotten cheaper airfare. This is how I could have gotten cheaper hotels. So if you were taking that extreme approach, I think not only does it show people how they could do it cheaper, but also show people where you sort of spent, you know, where you made sure, hey, we wanted to fly a nice, you know, flight to Alaska because it's a long flight and we've been cooped up in the house and it was special. That's why I spent that many miles. And you know, you could have done it differently. So I'm glad that you're kind of painting the whole picture for everybody. And there's really no wrong answer when it comes to this stuff. It's just about living life and having fun and turning those miles into memories, if you will.
Can we also just take a pause for Miles to Memories, probably being the only blog out there that has a fire person on their team and a girl who likes to pay cash for the Four Seasons? Like the diversity there, there's something for everyone.
And a girl that never uses miles and points, period, in Zoe. So
we're all over the place. Oh, I was about to say, I don't know who you're talking to, but okay, yeah, Zoe.
Yeah, she's never once booked a trip. So that's why I always find her perspective interesting too, because it's like a true travel backpacker perspective and doesn't think anything about it. Like she does travel as cheap as possible without using miles and points. But I'm like, man, we need to open up your mind or your world to this. Change your whole scope of things. It'd be kind of fun to interesting to see if she ever got into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I started my travel, was backpacking and staying in guest houses, hostels, traveling as cheaply as possible. So yeah, I mean, before I found miles and points, I always thought I was great at finding a good travel deal. And you know, now of course I find I'm much, much better at not only finding a good travel deal, but finding how to travel nicely, dare I say, in a bougie way compared to those terrible guest houses that I stayed at way back in the day. All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about, and we talked about this, I know at some point in the last few weeks, Mark, the rumors of Chase Sapphire and this what was going to be changed with it. But I don't think we've talked on the show the confirmed changes to Chase Sapphire Preferred and Sapphire Reserve. And, you know, to start off with, Sapphire Preferred gets some enhancements and Sapphire Reserve sort of kind of gets pushed to the side. I don't quite understand what's going on there. So Mark, start us off. Let us know, what did they change with Chase Sapphire Preferred to make this card, I guess, more relevant in today's world?
Yeah, so everything pretty much lined up with the rumors. The one thing we weren't sure of is the annual fee, and I had assumed it was going to go to like $150, something like that. But they are keeping it at $95, which I was really surprised about. They're adding a $50 hotel credit every card member year. So we told people, like I wrote an article, if you were going to sign up, don't sign up until the 16th or 17th when this finally rolls out, because if you know, you won't get it until the following card member year. So if you signed up like on August 13th, you wouldn't see it again until August 13th of 2022. So it's not as good as we had hoped when we originally heard the news. It's based off booking through Chase Travel, so that limits the usability somewhat. Usually Chase Travel, you can find hotels that are somewhat similar priced. And I think this is a good option for any hotel that's not like a points hotel that you wouldn't want to earn credit on your stay type of thing. So if you're staying for a night or whatever, you can get $50 off. Even if the price is like $20 higher on Chase, you're still saving $30. So I think there's some value there. You're going to earn 5 times on Chase Travel. I never book anything through Chase Travel just because it's such a pain to deal with stuff, which we've talked about in previous episodes, when you have cancellations or stuff on airfare. So I wouldn't really use it. 3 times on dining, certain streaming, select streaming, and online grocery like Instacart, stuff like that. So it's a little bit limited, but I think delivery services are pretty big these days. Still will earn 2 times on travel, 1 time on everything else. You also get a 10% back points anniversary bonus, which is based off your spend. So if you spend $25,000, you get 2,500 extra points. So it's not based 10% off the earnings. It's actual the dollar spend, which is kind of unique and not as good as it could have been. But so you're essentially earning 3.1 on dining, streaming, online grocery, 2.1 on travel. So a vast improvement for the same annual fee, even if Benji disagrees.
Yeah, I mean, they gave you a lot of good stuff there. And yeah, to your point, what's with all this Chase Travel? They want to incentivize you. How about you make the system better? How about you make it so people can see stuff online and cancel? I would love to use Chase Travel for 5X if the price was the same or whatever. But yeah, it's just way too painful to cancel anything. And I've lost points. I've actually let points go when I booked activities because it was too much of a hassle to try to get them back. And where's the actual value there if I'm actually letting stuff go and I'm losing those points? $95 a year, it seems like that's a pretty good card, Bethany, right?
Oh, it's an awesome card. I think we all have it. And I feel like I understand the people complaining about the benefits not being game changers, but at the same time, they didn't increase our annual fee at all. So it's probably a card you're either keeping or upgrading, downgrading in the future, right? So it's not like you're actually spending any extra money. And if you're one of these lucky people who happen to fall into one of these spending categories, you made, you know, you got some extra value for nothing.
Yeah, if you're a road warrior, you're getting 3 times dining for $95. I mean, I guess the biggest comparison is City Premier, which is 3 times dining and 3 times grocery. So people will say maybe that's better, but you have to throw in the fact that City Thank You partners kind of suck. Chase has Hyatt, which is the best you can do for partner, for which most people believe that that's the case, and just has better partners overall. It's probably the best lineup for domestic travel of membership rewards, ultimate rewards, and thank you points. And a lot of people are traveling domestically, you know, currently. So that's kind of a feather in their cap. I would have loved to see just grocery period instead of online grocery, but at least it's something.
Although online grocery is probably like two things, right? It's probably like Instacart and Fresh Direct.
Yeah, because they say excludes Walmart, Target, and wholesale club. So I'm guessing it's like that type of thing. Maybe Walmart grocery pickup would work because you order it online and you go pick it up. So I think we'll find some other stuff that works that you might not think should work. So there's always things like that. So I think there will be opportunity there. Maybe something like Fluz, if they're Fluz, however you say it, with Hans Grocery, maybe that will code as grocery and they sell gift cards. So I think there will be options that we'll have to test the waters on, but it's still better. You're getting 3 times signing. And I'd rather have that versus City Premier. And you have pay yourself back currently at least at 1.25 cents, where City, the cash out is 1 cent. And you get the 10% bonus, so you're earning better on dining. So I do think it is better than the Premier, its closest competitor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is to have both of them, because for a travel hacker, yeah, 3x unlimited grocery with the Premier is great. But for the normal person, I don't know that it really, if I'm comparing the two cards, it's going to move the needle all that much for me.
Yeah, for somebody who, you know, is not maximizing their categories at grocery stores, like for me, there's no reason to have the City Premier, especially to deal with City's IT. So I'd rather just take like the 1x.
You don't want to book Turkish awards no, with your thank you points? No.
Although I do love that they have American, or they've added it temporarily. I guess we'll see how that works out.
Everybody drained their accounts and now.
So there you go. So that's, it's something. It's something. Yeah, I'm going to use my existing 4,000 thank you points on it. Is that even enough? I don't even know how to use their system anymore.
Yeah, you have to have at least 1,000. So you're good.
So that good works great.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's pivot to the Sapphire Reserve.
Garbage.
Yeah, I mean, the annual fee is staying the same, so $550 there. And what you're getting 10x on Chase Dining, which is a very limited program with very limited
weird
stuff. And then some of the Chase Travel stuff, you're getting 10x, 5x on airline travel through Chase Travel again. So you're getting 3x on all travel and dining with the Sapphire Reserve. But I mean, the Preferred is a better card at a lower annual fee. There's just no way I'm going to, I mean, you get the 1.5 cents cash out. I mean, what else is there? What reason is there to hold this card anymore?
Yeah. And when you look at competitors, Amex Platinum just went up, but it's earning five times at the old 550 rate. It was earning five times on airline. Prestige earns five times on airline and dining. So you would have liked to see, you know, they have the Freedom Flex they rolled out, earns three times on dining with no annual fee. So you would have liked to see them bump that at least to 4x. You look at Amex Gold for $250, it's earning four times on grocery and dining and three times on airline. So that's even better at a lower annual fee. You know, a lot of people will say, well, the Reserve has the best travel protections. I'll throw a couple extra hours in there for several hundred dollars a year. That's okay. In Priority Pass, you can get other places. I know they have the restaurants, but are the restaurants really worth that much to you unless you are a home base that you use it all the time? And even then, free food, if it's crappy, it's still, I mean, it's free, but it's crappy. So what do you care? So that's my take on it. I can't tell anybody to get this. And if you want to cash out at the 1.5 cents, well, if it, like, let's say it gets extended long term, build up your stash and then upgrade a card to it. Cash out a couple months later, 6 months later, whatever, downgrade again. So they're not like Amex where they're very obsessive where you have to hold it for a year if you upgrade. So that would be my suggestion, I guess. What do you think, Bethany?
I completely agree. I've been telling people to go for the CSP right now. And then if they're looking for cashback scheme, to just wait. And then, you know, transfer over to CSR, like when your annual fee is due or whatever. And yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, and that's Chase's program, right? They allow you to upgrade and downgrade. They have their rules that they set, and people are working within the rules. A lot of times when you upgrade Sapphire Reserve, they're not charging the annual fee for a while, too. So I know that.
Yeah, I wrote that article. It takes like 3 months for them to actually bill it, which is bizarre.
Amex kind of does that, too, which always like freaks me out because I'm like, okay, well, now are you counting my card member year as this or this, you know? And somehow they always figure out how to make it the most advantageous for themselves. But, you know.
I will say Chase's, when you do an upgrade, your new card member anniversary is based on the date you upgrade. But the annual fee will always bill on that date. So you'll have two different dates, which really messes people up. So like for when I upgraded my wife's to the Reserve, it was, let's say, August was the upgrade date. So that was my anniversary date when the travel credit reset. But the annual fee posted in November. So that was when the annual fee would reset. So I'd get the travel credit before the second annual fee would post. It's kind of crazy. But one thing we should say is if you're interested in the Sapphire Preferred and you don't have anybody to refer you, like a spouse or friend, family member, that type of thing, we do have the links if you want to support the website, the podcast. You can sign up, get the 100K bonus, get all these extra perks, earnings, $50 hotel credit. So if it's something you were interested in, you were going to grab anyway, we have the same thing that you would get going direct. And if you'd like to support us, we appreciate it. And, you know, you can find the links at what's the website, Sean?
MTMpodcast.com. Our main podcast site has credit card links for anything. And yeah, we appreciate any time anybody applies for a card, thinks of us, uses us. We only want you to use our links when you can get the best deal. That's what's important to us. But we do appreciate the help, the support. And if you value our content, that's a way to help support us and give us value back. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Now let's head into rapid fire. Mark, what you got?
So I'm going to plug myself because I haven't brought this up previously. You know, we talked about the Alaska, the Alaska trip, how much it costs. And I want to do that for future trips. I think it's something people find of interest. And I always find that interesting for people to share their costs with me. But I did write a two-part Alaska trip report that goes into detail of everything we did every day. You know, if you really have a lot of time on your hands, I think it's like 5,000 words between the two of them. So the most writing I've probably done in a while. Put a lot of effort into it. A lot of cool pictures. Shared some good tips. If you have a trip coming up or you want to be inspired for Alaska, check those out. Yeah. How about you, Bethany?
Okay. So my rapid fire is kind of more of a question. Do you guys think for somebody who did not hit Globalist this year that it's worth it now to sign up for the World of Hyatt credit card since they're doing double elite nights for all stays for anybody who signs up after, I think it was like August 16th or something? Because I know that the current sign-up bonus is, you know, weak compared to older or historic bonuses. But I'm still thinking about it because I gave P2 all the qualifying nights because Hyatt's like the one program where you can gift status and I could just like pull points in his account. So now I'm thinking, well, maybe with this new offer, I should go for it myself.
Yeah, because you got to hit 30 and you get 5 from signing up for the card. So that knocks it down to 25. And then if you do the 15K to get the free night before the end of the year, since it resets the calendar year next year, that'd be another 6 nights. So we're down to 19. So you'd have to stay 10 times if they're giving you the double nights. And depending on your travels, if you have that already locked up that you were going to do anyways, I think it's a no-brainer.
So you think that's better than going for the extra like milestone benefits?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the status is really where the value is. So yeah, that's what I'd focus on. And because you're going to get it for the remainder of this year and then you'll have it all next year too. So it'll be worth it, I think. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, you're still getting a 60,000 point bonus, right?
But yeah, if you do the 15K.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to do, and you want to do the 15K anyway to get that free night after the spend. So
yeah. The free night that I'm never going to use.
Never going to, because it's a cat. There are some category 1 through 4s that are.
Yeah.
Hey, the Orlando trip. There you go. Bing.
Yeah. That's what I used my mind for recently was the MTM meetup.
We try to keep all our diamond meetups at category 4s or lower so people can burn certificates. There we go.
It's never going to be that easy to get top tier status again. Or I don't know. Maybe they said that earlier this year and maybe it'll get even easier, but it's still certainly easy.
Hopefully they roll it out 30 days again next year. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
No, yeah. We need all you poor man's globalists to go away.
See?
And let us real globalists.
I'm not the only person who thinks like that.
let us real globalists have Hyatts back to ourselves. Thankfully, I haven't noticed a huge difference when staying. Mm-hmm. Not that I was too worried about it because I feel like I've matched status so much that I get free things in other programs. So Hyatt's the one where I've paid and sort of tried to get status, but I get free status so much that I don't worry too much. But thankfully, I haven't been out maneuvered for rooms too often. Even in our diamond meetup, I got a decent room because Mark.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mark claims that he got it for me, but we all know that it was just I'm just that special, and that's why I got that.
You are that special.
That room. Not, they didn't give me the presidential suite, Bethany, so I don't think that they quite know my value. But we'll keep working on it.
Oh,
that's here, it. We're never here going I there am again. Playing the world's tiniest violin for you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, who does know my value, and that is City and Sears, because they keep sending me these spending offers, and we write about them all the time. And it's not just me who gets them. But this month, this is the first time they did this, 15X on utilities, 15X thank you points on utilities. And then I just got a 10X for the next 3 months on grocery and gas again. So that came in
after.
Are there
even Sears stores still in business? Like,
there are none in Las Vegas. There are none left. There's no Sears or Kmart's left here.
Yeah,
but that credit card keeps going strong for me. And yeah, I mean, I love it every time I see it. But 15X on paying my utilities, I'll take it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a card that none of you guys can get anymore.
Makes you happy about all those air conditioning bills in Vegas. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. That makes it a little bit less painful. But that's going to do it for this week's show. Bethany, where can people find you on the interwebs when they're not listening to this podcast?
Well, they can always find me collaborating with my MTM people at Miles to Memories and bougiemiles.com and the Bougie Miles YouTube channel. Like, thumbs up, subscribe. You guys know the drill since you follow all the Miles to Memory stuff. So that's where.
Thanks for not making fun of me for saying smash the thumbs up button as everybody
else. Smash the thumbs up button. Well,
make
now
sure
I have
you
to.
Smash it. You can't just hit it. You got to smash
smash
it.
That like button.
Do we get double likes if they smash it instead of just hit it? I hope so, because that'd be amazing. But
definitely.
You can find me on Twitter, giving Airbnb crap, at Detroit Mark. You can email me, mark@milestomemories.com. Comment on any of the articles on the website. Join our Facebook groups, our Diamond Patreon group. You know, send me Facebook messages. However you want to get a hold of me, you can. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, and anybody who wants to join our Diamond Patreon group and then give me free sweets. So cool to get to know our community and our people. And we have our Facebook group, like we said. We have our Patreon, like Mark said, patreon.com/milestomemories. But you can find everything, miles, points, Vegas, videos, podcasts, at milestomemories.com. It's all right there. On the homepage, we got like 50 plus posts a week. We have our new MTM Vegas podcast, this podcast, our YouTube videos, all of that. Milestomemories.com. Joe should be back next week. He is on week 18 of his vacation. So hopefully he's enjoying himself and he decided to finally take a week
probably
off
not.
From the podcast. I'm leaving that in. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget that we have our monthly MTM Vegas live stream on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/milestomemories. The happy hour, if you will, with Mark and Bethany. And they allow me to come and hang out with them as well. It's a lot of fun. That will
really
be
fun.
On August 25th at 5 p.m. Vegas time. So check that out
8
as well.
Beast Coast time.
I love that in our internal dialogue, Bethany did SCT, Sean Coomer time.
SCT, really like Sean Coomer time. Yeah.
Oh,
because
she
I
gets
mean,
me.
You know.
Let's
the
get
whiz.
A little behind the scenes of how Bethany, because we have this weird, we have to schedule at a certain time for in Sean's time zone, even though we live in the Eastern time zone, mm-hmm. but other things are in Mountain West time zone. And Bethany used to always mess up the scheduling.
Oh God. When I first started at Miles Memories, I probably for a good, like what, 6 months. And then maybe like once every couple months after that, I thought that Sean was going to fire me like once a week for scheduling a post. At the wrong mill, because not only do you have to convert it to Pacific time, or was it Mountain time at that point? You also have to put it into military time.
You guys are making
time.
This sound much worse than it is.
Well, so I mean,
there was once upon a time, there was one person who lived in the Pacific time zone writing, and so that's what the site. Yeah, the Mountain time sucks because that's House of Miles, that's boarding area, and so there's some stuff that they have, and that's beyond my control. Or else it would all
but then
be.
Why also military time on top of that? Like, why?
Yeah, that's
why did we have to
part.
Add that military. Extra layer of complexity?
because that way so you weird. Don't accidentally schedule things for 4 a.m. instead of, I don't know. Again, that was always military time from before. So
it's funny that Danny messed up something. He's like, I posted these two at New York time. I noticed it. Nothing went out for the last hour. I was like, whoa, did Bethany take over your body today or what?
I was consulting that day.
Who knew that time zones could be such an issue? Like, Mark is so bitter about the time zones. You know, one of these days, just like on your birthday or something, I'll change the time zone to the East time zone just for a day, just to make you happy.
For my day too, please.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.